Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless. Welcome to chapel. It's Wednesday. So glad that you have joined us, and we are going to have a great hour together as we come around God's word, have some prayer time, and really, really believe that God has got something extraordinary in store for us today. And I also believe that this season is the season of opportunity for our church. We're seeing far more people ever before engage in church. Thousands of people every weekend, midday, Sundays, Wednesdays, connecting into church community. I think it's phenomenal what God has done in this season. And we've got a real special treat for you this evening. We've got not just a great church builder, but a real close friend of Chantal and I, Pastor Dave Niblock. Him and his wife, Abs, and their four children. That's right, one, two, three, four children. Let me tell you, he's not just a great dad, church builder. He's now a school teacher. He's got his own class right up there in Bradford. Him and his wife live in Bradford, but pastor Life Church in Leeds and do a fantastic job. They've seen the church just grow, explode over the last few months as they've moved into their new building right on one of the main highways in Leeds. And so we love them, and they're going to bring, well, Dave's going to bring a brilliant word tonight, and I'm excited to hear it. So we're going to cross over right now. We're going to shoot up. We're going to zoom up, as we say, zoom up to sunny Bradford, and be blessed by the word. Engage. Don't let it just be ambience in the background. Really sit down, lean in, and let's hear what God's going to say tonight through Pastor Dave. Enjoy.
Good evening, Soul Church. Such an honor to be with you guys tonight. My name's Dave Niblock here from Life Church in Bradford and Leeds, and I'm so looking forward to imparting the word of God into your chapel service tonight. I love your church. I love everything you stand for. Thank you, John and Chantel, for inviting me just to speak to you guys in this crazy time that we are living in. But God's word remains strong, and the church remains strong. And I love seeing everything you guys are doing. The last time I was with you was just over a year ago, and Norwich City had just got promoted the day before, and Leeds United were beginning to fall apart. Well, fast forward a year, and Norwich City are bottom of the league, and Leeds United are top of the league, and everything is falling apart again. And so I don't know what it is with football and God kind of not loving me when it comes to football, but we're going to get into the Word of God tonight because that always encourages me a lot more than football does. And so I hope you really get encouraged by what I have to say to you tonight and find some hope in the Word of God. The Word of God is full of hope, and there is so much hopeless news around us that we need to delve into this Word to really engage and enlarge our spirit and soul and help us at this time. And I want to speak to you from a couple of verses from the beginning of the Bible and then a couple of verses right at the end of the Bible. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 to 19, God talking to Adam, and he says, because you have listened to your wife, okay? Now, listening to your wife is normally a good thing, but in this context, it was a bad thing. And ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you not to eat from. Cursed is the ground because of you, and through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life, and it will produce thorns and thistles for you. By the sweat of your brow you will eat food until you return to the ground, and to the dust you will return. Not a great start to our chapel service tonight in the scripture that we read, but it gets a lot better in Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 5, where the context is God restores the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says, the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God down the middle of the great street of the city. And on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. And you might think they are two strange passages to read, one right at the beginning and one right at the end. But what I want to share with you guys tonight, Soul Church, in your chapel service, is the God of restoration. The God of restoration. We serve a God who is in the restoration business. He restores lives. He restores nations. He restores churches. He restores marriages. And we're going to believe tonight that as we speak out the word of God, that there will be restoration that takes place in our hearts and in our souls and in our lives. The God that we serve is the God that takes that which is broken and beaten. And in his nature, God acts to restore it and God acts to repair a world that is not the way it should be. And so in Genesis, what happens is not what God's plan was, and yet God works to restore that when we get to the book of Revelation. Just over a year ago, my seven-year-old son, who was younger than that at the time, a year younger than seven, so he was six, broke his leg, and he broke his tibular bone, full-on clean break, snap. He broke it in kids' church. Where there's a blame, there is also a claim. And he broke it, clean snap, and five-year-olds shouldn't have to experience the pain and the trauma that was associated with that. And he was obviously like in heaps of pain and crying, but we took him to, eventually took him to the hospital after Calpol didn't work. I didn't think he had a broken leg, I thought he had a bruise. So I said, sleep on it, mate, you'll be fine. And then in the middle of the night, he's still screaming. I'm like, okay, we better go to the hospital. We find out that it is broken. But when we get to the hospital and we speak to the doctors, what they tell us is the human body had already started restoring the bone. That hours after the break, and yet the human body works straight away to restore that which is broken. In fact, when you break a bone, I'm going to go into science for a couple of moments here. When you break a bone, three things happen. Firstly, there's what's called the reactive phase. The reactive phase is where area swells around the break. And in the last few weeks, maybe a couple of months, many of us have reacted to what has happened with this whole COVID-19 experience. Many of us have been in the reactive phase because there's been some breakage in our life. There has been something that has broken and we've reacted. Sometimes we've reacted well. Other times, maybe we haven't reacted so well. Maybe we've reacted to our kids in a certain way. Reacted to our wife or our family or our work colleagues or maybe just our friends. It's natural. This time is an unnatural time for all of us. And so there has to be space and grace for people because many of us are reacting in ways that is not truly who we are. But that is common, that there is a reactive phase whenever there is a break. The second thing that happens is there is what's called the reparative phase. The reparative phase is when the membrane that covers your bone converts itself into bone and cartilage cells. This is the start of the transition of the bone beginning to repair itself. And many of us feel like that now. You might feel in the transitional stage where there is a repair going on in certain aspects of our thinking or in our lives where the breakage has happened. We're now getting used to it and now kind of things are beginning to repair in our life. And the third phase is what's called the remodeling phase. And the remodeling phase is where temporary bone is replaced by compact permanent bone. And many of you now are in a remodeling phase. Your family is in a remodeling phase. The church is in a remodeling phase where there has been aspects of breakage and yet God is restoring things. He is remodeling. As he has repaired things, he is remodeling and he's reworking things. And during the reparative phase, a mineral deposit called callus, which is basically calcium, forms around the break. And this is what is amazing about that calcium, is as it forms around the break, it makes the bone stronger than it was before the break. I find it amazing that as soon as something breaks, the restoration process begins. As soon as Adam and Eve fell into sin, God didn't leave them in that place of sin. No, the restoration process began. Why, you might ask? Because God, in all of his love, and God in his nature, has a desire to see all of his creation. That is me, and that is you, and that is our church, and our society, and our nation. His desire is to see us in peace. It is to see us in wholeness, shalom, completeness, nothing missing and nothing broken. And so God works the start of that restoration when something breaks. If you look at the regular definition of restoration in the dictionary, it says that restoration is something to return something back to its original condition. So for example, there might be a wooden beam in your house and you restore it back to its original condition. You might have an old car and you restore it back to its original condition, or maybe an old chair. And that's good to restore back to its original condition, but I love the biblical definition of the word restoration because it goes to another level. The biblical meaning of the word restoration is to receive back more. Everybody say more. More. To receive back more than has been lost, to the point where the final state is greater than the original condition. Praise God for that. That the biblical meaning of restoration is that whatever has been lost, God restores it so that the final state is greater than what it was in its original place. God restores our lives like the human body restores bones. It makes them stronger than it was, actually was before the break. That is probably why in Joel chapter 2 verse 25, the prophet, God speaking to the prophet saying, "So I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten." God is saying whatever has been lost, the years that have been lost, whatever has been taken away from you in these last few weeks or maybe in these last few years, God is going to restore them to you. God is going to give you back greater years than you've ever had before. And I prophesy and I speak to you guys today at Soul Church, and I prophesy that the God that we serve is a God that wants to restore the years that many of you have lost in health. He wants to restore many of what you've lost in relationships or in purpose, because over the past few weeks, locusts have been nibbling away at our businesses. Locusts have been nibbling away at our health. Locusts have been nibbling away at our purpose. They've been nibbling away at our kind of our church community. And we say the locusts will not have their way anymore. Why? Because God will restore whatever the locusts have eaten. Many of you have been without and many of you have not had enough. And I know we're blessed in our lives right now. You know, most of us are sat here now watching this on a TV or on a laptop or on a phone, probably whilst eating a pack of crisps. And after this, you're going to watch Netflix. Whatever you might do, we have plenty. We are so blessed. But I'm also aware that many of you have lost loved ones in this time. Many of you have been separated from friendship, separated from family, separated from like parents who you haven't been able to see, the elderly who you love to see regularly and you've not been able to see them, and you've been disconnected in this time of lockdown. And I prophesy that whatever the locusts have eaten, God is going to restore that, and you're going to have great times again with your family, that your businesses are going to go from strength to strength, that your church is going to continue to grow and not grow back to its original form, but be stronger than it was before, that your relationships will be stronger than they were before, that your business can be stronger than it was before, that our health can be stronger than it was before. Because my desire, and I'm sure your church's desire, and I know John and Chantel's desire for you as a church, is not that we move backwards towards brokenness, but that we move forward towards restoration. I love what 1 Peter chapter 5 says. Peter writing, he says, "Be alert and of sober mind, for the enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. But resist him, stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." What's comforting is we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same place in terms of the sufferings that many of us are facing at the moment. And there's different discrepancies in the levels of that suffering, but all of us are being dealt a blow at the moment. But it says, "And the God of grace," the grace of God in verse 10, "who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, God will himself restore you and will make you strong and will make you firm and will make you steadfast." I love what Peter is saying there. Peter is saying is the follow-up of suffering doesn't always need to be weakness, but it can actually be a restoration of strength. And people keep asking me at the moment, what do I think the church will look like in a few months' time? I don't know. And the reality is nobody knows. But what I do know is the church of Jesus Christ will still be here. And we're not going backwards in weakness. We're going to move forward in strength. Why? Because God can restore us and he can make us strong and he can make us firm and he can make us steadfast. Stuff happens. And maybe stuff has happened to you over these past few weeks. Maybe mentally, in your mental health, this has been a real challenging time. Maybe depression or anxiety or fears have been kind of just waving at you over these past few weeks. I understand that. Many of you have gone through trauma and turmoil and real challenge and difficult times, and stuff gets on us. But that is often a great time for the process of restoration to start, because sometimes it's so easy to paint over what is already there. But if you want to restore something truly, you have to strip back what is there. You have to take off the layers. You have to peel some things back bare for the restoration process to begin. Remember when we first went into our Leeds building and we didn't have any money for the carpets in the offices, we'd run out, okay? And so we thought we could just leave the carpets there, or we could put like some rugs over them and kind of cover the old carpet that was there. And then one of us had a great idea to lift up the carpet and see what was underneath. And what was underneath was a beautiful wood floorboards that we were able to strip back and make better than it was in its original condition when we received it. And it's sometimes the easier option in life is to cover whatever has been there. And the tougher option is sometimes to expose and to strip it back. And for many of us, over the past few weeks, this has been a time of stripping back certain things. We've had to strip back in terms of our control. We've had to strip back sometimes our addiction for busy and our addiction for more and our desire to go here, there and everywhere. And it's almost like we've been contained and we've been limited and we have actually been in a lockdown. And many of us feel stripped back, but maybe that's where God has been able to do some of his great works. The Bible says in the book of John that Jesus clears out the temple. Why? Because he was fed up with how the temple had become a marketplace. And maybe God is going to use this time to clear out and to strip out some stuff in our lives that was never intended to be there. And actually we can focus on what truly matters. The Bible says that Adam and Eve made coverings for themselves. They were embarrassed. They were ashamed. And God's like, what are you guys doing? You don't need to be covering yourselves in those leaves. And the Bible says God restored them. He made coverings for them. Why? Because things work out much better when you allow God's grace to cover your exposure and your embarrassment and your shame and your weakness. You allow him to cover it and to restore it with his grace rather than us trying to sweep over it and cover our own embarrassment. The process of restoration can be messy. If you've ever restored a car, I haven't personally, but if you've ever restored a car, it's dusty and there's stuff everywhere. But whenever you start the process and the journey of restoration, you basically have to remove a whole heap of things, take out all the items so that it all can be repositioned. And I feel God has been kind of taking out all of the items in our lives and in our community and been repositioning things. But I do know when God does that, he is going to restore many of those old, dusty, rusty cars. And they are going to be beautiful, shiny cars that look so much better now and work so much better than they did before. Why? Because God is involved in the restoration process, the restorative nature of God. It is who he is. And sometimes if there are any restored relationships that you have, sometimes you have to remove whatever has become dusty and rusty, maybe old memories, some distant offenses, maybe some family fallout. You sometimes have to replace and remove the old so that you can replace it with the new. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17? If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. And so maybe you are watching tonight and you're like, yeah, that's me. There are some areas in my life that I think need restoring. There are some areas in my life that have become dusty and rusty. And I don't just want to give you things that are kind of Dave Niblock's ideas of what God wants to restore. I simply want to take you to the Word of God and give you six real quick things that God is committed to restoring. Are you ready for this? Okay, the first one is this. Number one, God restores my soul. Yes, he does. God restores souls. Look what it says in Psalm 23. You know it. You're called Soul Church. I'm sure you know this verse. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. God restores my soul. I love that verse because God is committed to your soul more than anything else. But in Psalm 22, the chapter before, the Bible says, the psalmist says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so David in Psalm 22 is going, God, where are you in this time? I'm being surrounded by enemies. Life is really difficult. And then the next chapter, David comes to this revelation that if the Lord is my shepherd, then he is committed to restoring my soul. And I want to speak that to you tonight because many of you feel like you are living in Psalm 22 right now. My God, why have you forsaken me? I feel surrounded by so much enemies, enemies of your kids. Enemies of other aspects in your life. Well, God, where are you in this moment? And come to this revelation in Psalm 23. If the Lord is your shepherd, then he leads you beside quiet waters. Why? Because he wants to restore your soul. God is committed to the health of your soul. more than anything else, church, more than anything else, your soul matters to God. And I love that's why you're called Soul Church, because the reason John and Chantel chose that name is because they know God is committed to your soul more than anything else. That it is your soul, that is who you are, that is what is precious, that is what is valuable, way more valuable than your house and way more valuable than your aspirations and any dreams that you have. What matters is your soul, because David was successful. He was winning battles. He was being effective. He was doing this and he was doing that. And it's almost like God is saying, who cares, David? Who cares about how effective and successful you've been? Your soul is broken and your soul needs restoring. Pretty much sums up the ministry of Jesus in the Gospels as he goes around basically healing and restoring souls. Sure, he healed people physically, but a lot of the time he went restoring souls. Zacchaeus, I'm going to restore your soul. The woman at the well, I'm going to restore your soul. Why? Because great leaders will always see souls before they see service. And sometimes we want people to do so much stuff, but what we have to be committed to is the health of their soul. The restoration of your soul is your daily responsibility, and God is right there to help you. He uplifts you, he encourages you, he fills you with his presence renews you. And when your soul is restored, everything changes. And I have this little line in my life which says this: when my soul is healthy, everything is good, even when it's bad. But when my soul is unhealthy, everything is bad, even when it's good. The health of my soul really dictates everything else in my life. And some of your souls are tired, and some of your souls are disappointed, and some of your souls feel bruised, and some of your souls might be flat. I pray tonight that the God of restoration would start restoring your soul, and it would be stronger than it was before. And today we're going to ask God to restore what he created. The second thing God is committed to restoring is years. He restores years. In Joel chapter 2, we read how God will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Years that you feel have been wasted. Maybe that have been lost for some particular reason. And I want to say this: God can do in 1 year what you strive to do in 10 years. God can do in 3 months what you strive to do in 3 years. And what's been amazing over these last few weeks is how fast you as a church have kind of gathered together. And you are now blessing your community through your soul foundation. That could have taken years to do, but yet it's happened in a few weeks. Why? Because God has the ability to move quickly and to restore years. Have you ever met a 50-year-old who looks younger now than they were when they were 40? Why? They've had years restored. They've had years restored. And that is what we are speaking to tonight, that God would restore years to you in Jesus' name. The third thing that God restores is God restores health. He does. Jeremiah 30 verse 17, but I will restore to you health and I will heal your wounds, declares the Lord. He is the God that healeth thee. By his stripes we are healed. And it's not just a hope that we have. Surely it's a promise that when the body is broken, we declare the restorative power over our health. And in our local church, we've had people who've been in hospital with COVID-19. And by the grace of God and by the amazing workings of our NHS staff, praise God for you guys, they have come out well and they have been healed and they are now back at home with their families and working. But we've also had people in our church who have lost loved ones to COVID-19 and where they've not been healed. But we can still start speaking out the restoration health that God wants to bring to our lives. All of us are wasting away. The Bible says that is normal. Let's not kid ourselves in terms of our physical bodies. But as we age, let's not lose the promise that God can restore our health. God can restore our bodies, that God can restore our minds. Sure, we might be getting older, but just because I'm 70, I don't have to have a mind like every other 70-year-old. God can restore my mind and I can think like a 20-year-old. I can think like a 30-year-old. Can we be fitter at 50 than we were at 30? Because when we get to heaven, we'll all have fully restored bodies. And who knows, John Norman might be doing, I don't know, 14 marathons in 14 days when he's 65 in 25 years time. And you'd have Sam Milchin on his bike behind him. Sam will be in his 40s. Come on, John, you can do this. Let's speak the restorative power of God's health over our lives, that we remain strong, that we remain healthy, and that we remain fit. And John, if you do 14 marathons in 14 days, When you're 65, I will do it with you, my friend. The fourth thing that God wants to restore is God restores stuff. Stuff. Job 42, verse 10. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored Job's fortunes and gave him back twice as much as he had before. Now, Job had lost everything. He'd lost family, he'd lost cattle, he'd lost his house. Job, talk about losing stuff. Job had lost it all. But yet this verse says, the Lord restored to Job what had been lost. And when you lose stuff that you should never have lost, when you are faithful and when you are righteous and when you are upright, I believe God has a way of restoring stuff to you. That might be a car, it might be possessions, it might be gifts. And I'm not being materialistic here, but I know God is a kind God. And God wants to restore stuff to you that you have lost through no fault of your own. And you've been faithful, maybe an investment, maybe mortgage deals, maybe business deals that have gone wrong, and yet you've remained integrous. I want to pray and prophesy that, like what God did to Job, that he would do that to you, that God looks after you, that he would provide for you. He is your Jehovah Jireh. And when you understand that everything is God's anyway, you can live in much more peace, knowing that if God has brought it to me once, he can bring it to me again. Number five, and we're nearly closing. Number five, God restores relationships. And maybe you think, oh, I didn't want you to go there, but I have to go there, because in 2 Corinthians 13, Paul says, finally, brothers and sisters, in verse 11, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. I don't know about you, but all of us have had relationships in our lives that have become rusty, that many of them need restoring. All of us have had challenges with family, with friends, with leaders, with colleagues, and many relationships have become broken. They've gone into disrepair. Maybe they sit in a garage and they've become rusty and dusty and they've become unusable. I want to speak out that God has the ability to restore relationships if you desire to work with him. Now, I do want to say this, not all relationships need restoring. Maybe you've been mistreated. Maybe you've been abused. Those relationships do not need restoring. Maybe you dated an idiot a few years ago. He is gone. You don't need to be going back to those kind of relationships. But you need to look at, could God restore the relationships with purpose? The relationships that still have destiny? The relationships that are stopping you from moving forward because you know how it ended was not how it should have ended. You see, some relationships end on purpose, but some relationships end on pride. And we have to decide which relationships do we want in our world and which relationships do we want God to help us restore. The sixth and final area that I believe God wants to restore to us is the joy of our salvation. The joy of our salvation. In Psalm 51, verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. What is the joy of our salvation? It is the joy of being saved. It is the joy of the gospel that Jesus Christ came to earth and died for you because he loves you and he rose again and he put new life in you and he gave you hope and he gave you a future and he gave you destiny. That is the gospel. It is the good news of Jesus Christ. And so when I've been at home for these last few weeks, sometimes I've been sad, if I'm honest. Sometimes I've been a little bit down. I've been a little bit depressed. I've been a little bit kind of thinking, you know, what's going to happen? And I've just kind of wallowed maybe in terms of myself. I've had to lift up my spirit and realize this, that I am saved, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is there for me. Man, I'm getting excited tonight in chapel, that the joy that you are forgiven and you are filled with power from on high. The joy of your salvation. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And maybe some of you are weak tonight because you've lost your joy. Today, ask God to restore it. Those six areas are simply from the Bible of what God promises to restore. And I want to finish off with this, because in Japan they have this form of modeling clay called kintsugi. And kintsugi simply means golden repair. It is the Japanese art of repairing broken pottery by restoring the areas of breakage with dusted gold. Sounds quite fancy. But it's simply, if a pot or a piece of pottery or a vase damages and is broken, most of us would just sweep it up and put it in the bin. But in Japan, many of them do kintsugi with it. They will pick up all the broken pieces and they'll put it back together using some dusted gold. And what they do is they treat the restoration as part of the history rather than something to disguise. Rather than going, it's broken, we're embarrassed about it, let's just bin it. No, they put dusted gold in it, repair it and remodel it and restore it, put it back on their mantelpiece. And when people come to visit, they are amazed to see a piece of kintsugi. Why? Because it is showing that something was broken, but now it has been restored. And some of you have had cancer and God has restored you. It is part of your history. Maybe in your marriage, you had breakage in your marriage, but yet God has put dusted gold in your marriage. God has put some dusted gold in your heart. God has put dusted gold in your body. God has put dusted gold in areas of breakage in our lives. And it is so beautiful. And you need to know God's restoration is valuable. And God's restoration is beautiful. And it is better and it's stronger than it was before. Because a piece of pottery that has a certain value in Japan, before it is broken, has a certain value. But after it goes through kintsugi, despite its breakage, because of the art of restoration that has been involved, the value of it increases. And I believe that aspects of our life that have gone through breakage these last few weeks and difficulty and challenge, that God is going to do some kintsugi and that the value is going to increase. It might look different, but it looks different because God got involved. Our churches will look different after this, but why will they look different? Because God got involved. Our relationships will look different. Why will they look different? Because God got involved. Church, let God restore you. Let God restore aspects of your life. It is in His nature. And tonight I want to ask you, where do you have faith for the God of restoration to get involved in your life? He makes all things new. And I want to pray for you right now. And right where you are, you might raise a hand to one of these things. If you want God to restore your soul in your lounge or wherever you're watching this, just raise your hand up. Come on, let's be humble enough to do that. Restore your soul. If you want God to restore some years, put your hand up in the air. If you want God to restore health, put your hand up in the air. If you want God to restore some stuff, raise your hand. If you want God to restore some relationships, maybe you want God to restore the joy of your salvation. Whatever applies to you, whatever you feel, that really means something to me. I want to pray right now that the God of restoration would start the restoration process if He hasn't done already, and that you'd begin to see things that were broken in certain areas restored in Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. God, I pray for this amazing church, Soul Church, and I pray right now that the God of restoration, the restorative nature of God, would get involved. God, I thank you that what took place in Genesis, you restored in Revelation, that the Eden, Garden of Eden, that was broken, God, you restored that garden, and it is a picture of you restoring our lives, restoring our families. And so we pray right now that our lives would be stronger after all of this than they were before, that our churches will be stronger after this than they were before, that our marriages and our friendships will be stronger after this than they were before. In Jesus' name, may you restore those areas, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for taking your time to listen to me tonight. I hope you found that encouraging. We love you. We stand with you. We're praying for you. We're praying for John Norman's hair, that God would continue to do a miracle on that because it needs it. But I love you. Thank you so much for the honor to speak into your chapel service tonight. I'm going to hand back to Pastor John right now. And God bless you. See you soon.
How good was Pastor Dave Niblock? Wow. Blessed by the word. Were you encouraged? Hey, make sure you check out his social media. Follow him on Instagram, Twitter. He always says some great things. We're just so grateful. Thank you, Dave, for your investment into Soul Church this evening. That was just phenomenal. That really was. And we love you and Abs and what God is doing up there through Life Church, Pastor Steve and Charlotte, and everything that God is accomplishing through your ministry. So thank you. And I want to encourage you that the best days in Bradford and Leeds and Belfast and Poland and all the other places that you guys are involved in are ahead of you. So thank you again. We love you and we can't wait to give you a hug in person. Fantastic. Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.